seems kind of dark in here. I don't know, but... Well, good morning. I hope everyone had a nice 4th. I certainly did with my family, so welcome back. Governor Branstad is not here this morning. He left Saturday for a trade mission to Europe. Today we have some exciting news for both Iowa and the nation. As you know, promoting science, technology, engineering, and math or STEM education has been a priority of this administration. And as we seek to make Iowa schools the best in the nation while really having a top-notch workforce, and as we travel around the state promoting that, we often hear from individuals that there should also be an A in STEM, and that A should stand for agriculture. Food and agriculture are the backbone of our vibrant economy, and it's a critical source of jobs both here in Iowa and across the nation. And so today, I'm really excited to announce the creation of the STEM Food and Ag Council. It's an initiative that's created to drive education, innovation, and workforce development specifically in these critical industries. While we know that rich soil and favorable climate and a world-class infrastructure are certainly drivers of productivity in the food and agriculture industries, there's really little doubt that our people and their world-class education are the most important element that is driving Iowa's and our international competitiveness. We must educate and inspire and equip our young people to be innovators to ensure that we have continued prosperity. As Lieutenant Governor, I have had the privilege of co-chairing the Governor's STEM Advisory Council, and Iowa STEM has taken the charge of integrating sustainable and high-quality impact programs and opportunities into our students' lives. We're really proud of the progress, but without a doubt, we're going to continue to inspire and challenge our young people to be involved in STEM education and STEM careers. And so one organization that we've become very close to here in Iowa, it's called the Iowa STEM Connector. It's a national organization that really is a one-stop shop for STEM education. It's focused on increasing communication and collaboration in STEM education outreach. STEM Connector recently named in their publication 100 Top CEOs in STEM. Several Iowa CEOs made the list, and we're really proud of that. They were Mary Andringa of Vermeer, who is now serving as the co-chair for the Governor's STEM Advisory Council, Clay Jones with Rockwell Collins, Dennis Albaugh with Albaugh Incorporated, Chris Nelson of Kemen Industries, and Harry Stein of Stein Seed, as well as Sam Allen of John Deere and Ellen Kuhlman of DuPont were also named, and we're so proud of all of those Iowans that were really recognized for their outstanding interest in STEM initiatives. Our STEM initiative is a leader nationally, and so it only makes sense that we tie into nationwide efforts to coordinate STEM, and STEM Connector is really a valued partner in making that happen. So we're excited to announce that I will be the chair of the STEM Connector's new STEM Food and Ag Council. We're going to officially launch the council this Sunday in Chicago at the annual meeting of the Institute of Food Technologists at the McCormick Place. And we are very grateful to IFT's vision, and they will be serving as a co-founder of the initiative. And we certainly appreciate the platform that they've given us to announce this initiative. In Chicago, I will be joined by Paul Schickler, who is the president of Pioneer. And Paul has agreed to serve as the vice chair of the initiative. Paul was not able to be here today because of a conflict, but I want to say not only am I excited to have him co-chairing this initiative, but Paul has served on the Governor's STEM Advisory Council Executive Board, and he's been a wonderful, tremendous advocate for the STEM initiative. We plan to expand the council in the upcoming months, and we have several other commitments that are pending. We have several key advisors to the council also that have really have helped in the inaugural and planning part of the council, and that is Rob Denson of DMAC and Ambassador Ken Quinn of the World Food Prize, who is here today. So Ken, we appreciate all your help and continued efforts to really do everything that we can to raise awareness and the opportunities for our young people to participate in these endeavors. The first meeting of the STEM Food and Ag Council will take place right here in Des Moines in conjunction with the World Food Prize events in October, and Paul and his team at Pioneer will host us at their new Innovation Center. The approach to this initiative is very intentional and straightforward, and that is to leverage the expertise of business leaders in this field and to innovate education in food and ag. We want to, again, inspire and prepare our nation's students for the future. The nation's leading youth serving food ag organizations that will be participating in this, and they're really going to be our kind of our boots on the ground, will be the National 4-H Council and the National FFA organization. So we're excited to also have them on board and really to have youth and two very national organizations that will be helping implement this. With a highly educated food and ag workforce, much like the desired STEM initiative workforce of the future, our nation will be poised to take on any food and ag challenges that are set upon us. The vision is ambitious, but it requires a great ambition. So thank you for joining us today and giving us the opportunity to kick off the food ag initiative. And I would open it up to questions. Well, that's kind of what we are doing. This is a national initiative as well as a global initiative, and so we will be, or the council, basically STEM Connection, will be approaching different members, and through a contribution, that's how we'll fund the initiative. So there'll be no state money that will be appropriated for the initiative, but through membership organizations, they will help fund it. They currently have a STEM Innovation Initiative, so it will be operated very similar to what to how that one has been put together and operated.
Do you have a budget done for it?
No, not yet. We are, first of all, we're laying the infrastructure. We anticipate having 40 members. I'll chair, Paul will be the vice chair. We'll have two co-founders. IFT is one. IFIC will also play a role in the initiative, as well as several other companies. And we have some pretty significant companies that are participating in this initiative, and we'll be happy to get you a list of those. I didn't want to go through all of them in the conference, but we have some great partners that are participating in the initiative, and we'll be happy to get those to you. Well, really, and we'll put those measurables in place, and that's what you do is you get expertise, a wide range of expertise. You bring them to the table, and you start to lay out the goals. We hope to put several committees together, communication, youth, jobs and careers, technology, policy. But really, it's to connect and create careers in food and agriculture. So and Iowa is a great spot to be leading this initiative. I mean, we lead the nation. Agriculture is so important to Iowa. We lead the nation in corn and soybeans and pork, and 33 of the 100 top food processing manufacturers are located right here in Iowa. So we want to make sure that our young people understand the great careers that are going to be available here in Iowa so that we can not only get them started early enough, so that they're prepared for those jobs of the future, but also so we can keep them right here in Iowa, and that's the number one priority of our administration and of mine, is to not only make sure that we have kids prepared and ready to meet the careers of the future, but that we don't export them out of Iowa, we keep them right here in Iowa. Well, I think it continues to be a challenge of not only Iowa, but of this nation. And so we'll continue to work with the EU and talk about the importance of GMO and how it's so important for us to be able to continue to work for innovative and high-yield seeds so we can feed a world-growing population.
Okay. Hasn't said is whether or not there's some
Well, first of all, I want to start by just commending the troopers and our public safety officials and the tremendous job that they do day in and day out, not only to make sure that they protect the public, but also in protecting the governor and myself. They transport us all across this state. We go to all 99 counties every year, so they do a phenomenal job of not only ensuring our safety, but the safety of the public. The policy is law. And so we want to do everything that we can to implement the law. And we're working very hard as we schedule. We're very busy. We're on the road a lot. And I think that's one of the really assets of this administration is being accessible and out in this state and meeting with people and listening to their concerns. And so we work hard and we have an ambitious schedule. But we need to also make sure that when we're putting that schedule together that we're allowing enough time, you know, to travel between events. And even as hard and with the great job that our scheduler does, it's sometimes hard to leave these events and you run behind. And so, you know, 84 miles an hour, you know, that's a high speed, and we want to make sure that we make every effort to stay within the confines of the law and not speed. And so we're going to continue to look at the schedule. It's being reviewed by the Department of Public Safety. And we're going to make every, you know, attempt possible to make sure that we stay within the confines of the law.
Lieutenant Governor, you said the policy is the law. 84 miles per hour is not the law.
Right.
So what does that mean?
Well, that means that we're going to continue to review it. We're going to continue to look at the schedule and make every effort that we can to make sure that we're allowing enough time between events. And it's being reviewed by the Department of Public Safety, and we'll wait to see what their recommendations are.
Are you saying that's been the problem for speeding in the past? Is schedule issue?
No. I'm just saying that we're going to continue to look at the schedule. We're going to do our due diligence to make sure that we're not being placed in the situation where this would happen. And so we want to do everything that we can to make sure that we not only protect the safety of the governor and myself, but the public. And I believe that's what our law enforcement officials are doing. They're trained professionals. They do a phenomenal job. They place their life on the line every day to protect all of us. And so I have great confidence in their ability to do that. I'm not even sure. I tell you, I'm not sure what we were coming back for. I think it was, I'm not sure. I don't want to speculate. Okay.
I know that you're confident in the safety. Mm-hmm. When the governor and lieutenant governor are traveling together in a speeding vehicle, it raises a question about the old tradition of having the governor and lieutenant governor travel separately because of the change of succession.
Yeah. We do a lot. We travel separately a lot also. We're very frugal administration. You know, like I said, they transport us all over the state of Iowa. They're very conscientious of the laws. They're great public officials. They're professionals. They do a great job of protecting both the governor and I, as well as the public. And so I feel very confident in their ability to do that. You know, I'm not, honestly, when we get in the vehicle, our schedules are so back to back to back, it is an opportunity for me to get on my phone or my iPad. I'm either making calls, I'm reviewing emails, I'm responding, I'm reading information. A lot of times we personally sign the thousands, hundreds of thousands of certificates that we give to individuals every year. So that's what we're doing. I mean, a lot of times we're not even conversing because the governor's reading stuff, I'm reading stuff, he's doing calls for different commissions that he sets on, and I'm working on material that I brought with me too because it's an opportunity to actually have some quiet time to get some work done.
I'm just thinking back to my childhood. My mother would never
leave me. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. We're back in the car. We're working, and I'm really focused on what I'm doing. So I'm not watching the speedometer. I have full faith and confidence in the troopers that are transporting us all over the state, and so I'm busy doing the work that I need to be doing.
Since this issue came to light, has the administration given any direction to the patrol about obeying the speeding laws and other
you know, not. We are currently reviewing that, and not to my knowledge has anything been decided at this point. We're waiting to hear from the commissioner.
How fast you should be traveling, or how deeply you should schedule?
That's a decision that's being handled by the Department of Public Safety.
So. Policy comes out there.
Right. Well, it's under review. It's our intent not to. I think it's a rarity, and so we're going to make every attempt to absolutely follow the law. That is our intent. That's our intent when we're scheduling meetings, and so I think this is not the normal. It's an exception, and it is being reviewed by the Department of Public Safety, and so we look forward to hearing what their response is. I can tell you that he has the ability to do that. Any individual has the ability to do that. So any citizen driving has the ability to call that in. Pardon? I can tell you that the two incidences are absolutely not related. I don't know. I have no idea why that was changed. So.
That might increase the likelihood of someone calling in.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I don't know. So I don't want to speculate on that.